It's 11 minutes past 12 and I'm joined by entertainment journalist Owen Murphy. How are you, Owen?
I'm good, Mario, and yourself?
Very good. Did you vote yesterday?
I did.
Yeah,
absolutely,
okay.
Absolutely, yeah.
And do you say to people who you voted for, or do you keep it personal?
I don't have an issue.
Mm. Who did you vote for?
I'm struggling with his name. Eoin O'Riordan. He's in my constituency, yeah.
So he's...
Well, he called to my house and we had a robust debate.
Mm.
And he answered my questions and then he actually emailed me back.
He's a Labour man.
He is a Labour man. I don't have any particular party...
affiliation.
So I kind of voted, and then there was a local fella guy called Bernard Mulvaney who had really good policies on disabilities around the area, which
very good.
I was quite taken with, and I think I went for five because it's five.
You voted five?
Five.
Yeah, I voted five for five people as
because
well.
After that you were going into Looney Tunes and it was just...
Yeah, I just picked five as well. Yeah. And so I just picked five people as well. And but some people are okay about saying who they voted for, like you are. But other people, they believe it's a really deeply personal thing. I mean, as deep as...
I saw Matt Cooper on Twitter.
Did you see? What I was going to say. He said, here I am at the polling place. Nobody, not even Aileen or my children, have ever known who I've voted for inside that booth.
It could be a Cork thing, because my dad is a bit like that. He said a guard wouldn't ask me that.
It's a civil war thing.
It could be very much
so. It is. So, listen, for the day that's in it on,
yes.
we thought we'd talk a little bit about political humour.
Indeed.
And you've gone off, and during the week, you compiled a little bit of political humour for us, according to stuff that you like, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, well, look, we've a great history, as you well know, of political satire in the country, but not just here, across the water as well. They've done it really well. And I suppose we can get consumed, like you were talking about charisma earlier on, and the lack of, but when you look at some of the great satirists, and what they do is they take these people with no charisma and they put them in uncomfortable situations. And one of my favourites of all times, and he comes along from Brass Eye, kind of gave birth to these sort of institutions, is Ali G. And when Ali G first started off, and nobody knew who he was just, because he was on Channel 4, he was getting access to the most amazing people and absolutely setting them up.
And Ali G was posing as...
Sacha Baron Cohen was posing as Ali G. He was a black rapper from, I think it was Staines, wasn't it?
That's right.
He was from The Massive and Staines.
The Massive,
and,
yeah.
And they were kind of inserts at first, but then obviously...
It's the 11 o'clock show,
and then he got bigger and bigger, and he got his own show, and then he got his own movie, and then he got too big and everybody knew who he was.
Exactly, but at this time, nobody knew who he was.
Yeah.
So he was able to go around getting away with it. A bit like, remember PJ in Naked Camera
years
absolutely.
Ago? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So before PJ became well known, he was able to go and punk everybody, basically.
But like, I suppose what was great about this clip I've chosen as well is that he came to Northern Ireland and he got Sammy Wilson, which, you know, this is a guy, you know, and I'm not getting into the politics of it, you know, he's very much for his party, but he came up with one of the best...
Now, Sammy Wilson would be Democratic Unionist,
DUP, to the bitter end. Yeah, and like, amazing that he would let him in the door, but I presume he just saw Channel 4 and went, happy days, here we go, we're getting the message across. And the line of questioning was absolutely comic, and he came up with probably the greatest Ali G line Irish person. He asked Sammy Wilson, he goes, so what are you doing here? And he goes, oh, you know, well, I'm British. And he goes, oh, so you was here on holidays.
That was amazing, I just remembered it, yeah.
And it's just, like, I think everybody north and south just stopped, jaw hit the floor, and it was absolutely brilliant. But then, like... Yeah. He went out with them and around the constituencies, the murals and everything, and just the entire thing is fantastic. And it's just one of the best examples of Ali G in his prime doing what he does best.
So is you Irish?
No, I'm British.
So is you here on holiday?
No, Northern Ireland has always been part of Britain.
So why is everyone cussing the RAC?
Well, I don't think it's the RUC. The Royal Ulster.
The RAC people is, everyone today is saying the RAC, they've chucked stones at them and whatever. And it ain't their fault if they don't come, you know, in time or whatever.
Not everyone is doing that. I mean, I think that's the first thing. The vast majority of people in Northern Ireland actually use the police for their own protection.
But why is they using a breakdown service as police? That, to me, sounds like the most stupid thing. No wonder they're fighting here or whatever if they're doing
you
that.
You see, I think you've got a mistake. It's the R-U-C.
R-U-C. Oh, God. Breaking it down. When he breaks it down to the simple thing, is you on holiday?
Yeah, it's
you know,
perfect.
It's that satire at its finest when you can... just break something down to some to language which is so simplistic, which says an awful lot, something much bigger than just the simplicity of the language. Yeah. That it gets to the nub, I suppose, of the issue with a childlike question, really. Okay. All right. More good political humour here. What have you gone for
closer
next?
Closer to home this time. The Savage Eye.
Okay.
Which is a show that polarised the country. The amount of people that hated it are up there with the amount of people who loved it.
Well, let me get in there now for a second. Were there people that hated
it? There were. He got literally lampooned. I saw more people who hated it.
The Savage Eye?
The Savage Eye. People really... I think there was a couple of his characters didn't sit well outside the pale. In particular, the barman. What was
the Bull.
The Bull. That didn't sit well. And I presume because...
But I think they're missing the joke there.
That old Ricky Gervais line. They're jokes. Okay. They're supposed to be funny.
So I'll go on the record here as well. If I haven't been already, I think it's absolutely brilliant. It's genius. And David's bitterness and anger... is channeled so well by the directors and the co-writers, and indeed the production of The Savage Eye was excellent as well. And what aspect, what have you picked from David's work on The Savage Eye?
There's a lot of things I wanted to go for. Obviously, the church stuff was excellent, and he was one of the first people to do that. And the Mary Robinson stuff as well, with the husband in the birdcage, was something that I just loved and looked forward to every single week. But there was one song in particular that he did, which I think summed up the country at the time, and it was to the theme tune of The Wombles, and it was bankers and developers, and they're just going around Dublin and they're just destroying it, and they don't give a crap about what they've done, and it just is absolutely on the money.
Bankers, developers, crooked are we. We should be in prison, but we're wandering free. All the best solicitors we hide behind, while deceiving and robbing all the good people blind. We bought Bulgaria! Do you remember the scams that we pulled with all of our mates? We drained the country dry. We spent your kids' inheritance, and now they have to emigrate. Hand-zoning land, wrangling free. The orbits of financial meltdown are we. Yes, we abused all the cash that we found, and we drove the economy into the ground. So incredibly, utterly devious, making it look like it wasn't our fault. We are the Nama boys now. We seized the money from ourselves and locked it up in our vaults. We need a holiday, I hope you don't mind. Can I borrow your pension? Oh, you're so kind.
And what makes that really good as well, for doing satirical songs, because I'm kind of used to working them myself, is this the innocence and childlike nature of the tune, which lulls you into this false sense of security, and then the bitterness and the ire in the words.
And just when you remember at the time that this came out, like Ireland was on its knees, and you had the Anglo tapes, I think, had just come out as well, and it was just so topical, so on the mark. And everybody was so angry. And to do it in such a way, as you said, that there was this whimsy attached to it. And even like when you're watching the sketch, like they're playing golf and there's this 4-year-old child with a tee in her mouth and their tee off.
I loved his, one of the outstanding kind of image for me from The Savage Eye, and it's the same one that a lot of people had. And it was the image of the bishop running down the road and grabbing the child. Yeah. And that was, because that was, it's something... chitty chitty bang bang about that. Yeah. But that sort of summed it up.
Yeah.
In one go.
What I liked as well about him was his impressions. Like he was doing satirical comedy. He wasn't doing a mimicry of like the Pat Kenny one with the big arm, or you had Hector jumping into the coffin at the funeral, which was one of my favorite things of all. He was absolutely brilliant.
But he is a very good impressionist as well.
He is,
and a fine actor.
He is, but it's something we've talked about before in interviews, is that it's one thing to be a mimic, but it's another thing to be funny. And he has both. And I think that's what sets him apart, and what set The Savage Eye apart as well.
Yeah, no, it's excellent. Yeah. Absolutely excellent. What have you gone for next?
Well, I couldn't leave The Simpsons out.
Okay.
Because obviously, like, I think Simpsons bashing now is the number one pastime in the world, because I suppose the writing has kind of gone down a little bit.
Is it as bad as people?
Well, I still watch it a little bit, but it's just, they've done everything. And it's a question of, what you'd wonder why they're still going. Obviously, it's reality in America is so much stranger than fiction. When you've got Trump in the White House, there's only so much you can do. But if you go back and watch the earlier season, about 2 to season 6 of The Simpsons, and it was rapier. It was absolutely out of this world. And they just did everything well. And I suppose because they've done so much, and now if you watch the new stuff, it's just a little bit vanilla.
Yeah.
And you've got the spin-offs, the likes of The Family Guys and The South Parks. And The South Park, by the way, which hasn't got stale and is still as absolutely sharp as ever was, but it didn't have the central mainstreamness of The Simpsons, so it couldn't. So it was able to kind of stay on edge, whereas The Simpsons couldn't. It just became too successful, I think. And when you're going to Orlando Studios and they've got The Simpsons ride, you're just not going to have them, you know, slashing down regimes as they used to. But they do have their moments, and one of the ones which they did was they did a promo where Marge and Homer were trying to decide who to vote for, whether it was Hillary or whether it was Trump. And it was absolutely brilliant. It was back to their best.
I can't make love till I've decided who to vote for.
Yep, it's the American way.
It's 3 a.m. and the phone's ringing in the White House. Who do you want to answer that call? Hillary Clinton?
Hello? The Situation Room? I'll be right there. Oh, it's for you.
Yes. From now on, it's always for me.
Or Donald Trump.
Not now, I'm on Twitter. And Elizabeth Warren tweets too damn much. Glad I exiled her. Send. Oh, and put my name on the Lincoln Memorial. Make Chris Christie eat a worm just for laughs. Disband NATO and make me some scrambled eggs in a gold plate. What? Fine, I'll be right there. We're too late. The Chinese fleet is advancing. Just build another wall. Yes, in the ocean, sir.
Paid for by Americans who are really starting to miss Obama.
Finally, my mind's made up. And so is yours, right?
Absolutely. I'm voting for Trump, right?
If that's your vote, I question whether I can ever be with you again.
And that's how I became a Democrat.
The Simpsons. You've also picked, gone for a little bit of the thick of it, Owen.
Yes, yeah. This is, I actually, when I was researching this, I went down a thick of it hole, which I didn't come out of for about 4 days. It is absolutely incredible. And this is, this was made, I suppose, late 90s, early noughties. And it is basically kind of a Yes Minister style show where it goes behind the inner workings of a government and these fictitious departments, which is the DOSAC, which is the Social Welfare Department. And I think there was a Secretary of State as well. And the shambolic efforts that they make to stay in government. But behind it all, you have Peter Capaldi, which is the spin doctor, which is Malcolm Tucker. And well, believe me when I tell you, I struggled to find a broadcastable clip from this.
Yeah.
Because he has turned swearing into an art form.
Yeah.
It is just incredible, the language he uses. And thankfully, I never had to sit and watch this with my parents, because I think I'd have had to leave the room in embarrassment. But it's the manner in which it's written. And it's Amanda Iannucci,
mm-hmm,
who wrote it, who went on to do Veep,
yep,
and is just a genius with words. Mm. And I think even though the language is foul, it's the manner in which he does it and the way he does it. And all the time they're trying to highlight, while it is this facade of these inept politicians, it's more what they're willing to do to stay in power, which is the essence of government, and the manner in which they focus on that, and how everybody is willing to do and say anything just to cling on.
Did you actually manage to get a clip, or were we... No, we were without a clip, were we? Oh, do we?
We have one. We found
all right.
One.
All yeah. Right, Malcolm Tucker, here we go.
And who was it that did your media training? Myra Hindley. I mean, it was terrible. All these hands were all over the place. You were like a sweaty octopus trying to unhook a bra.
Okay, you leave it there. And then let me see. But mention obviously for Scrap
Saturday. Oh, Scrap Saturday is like it's look at it. It gave birth to all the satire in Ireland, as far as I was concerned. And when I was growing up, I got introduced to it by my cousins in Cork, and we used to sneak into cars on Sunday morning at any sort of family functions, and you put on the ignition and listen to Scrap Saturday. And I hadn't a clue who most of these people were, and you were kind of just laughing at the impressions more than anything else. But as you got older and you kind of listened to it, and when I got into college, I ended up doing my my thesis on the radio part of it on Scrap Saturday. And I got to interview Jerry Stembridge and Pauline McLean about it. And it was just when they explained to you the writing process and the thought that went into it, and the fact that they were like, politics was so rich at the time when you had Haughey, and they would have focused on Haughey and Mara were, of course, the two that got most prime time. But you ended up getting like the Dunphy and Giles marriage couple, and they ended up having a baby, I think, at one point.
Yeah.
Like, and then you had like one of my favourite parts of it in sketches was when it was opened. It was during the Gulf War, and you had this really drawl Southern American. He's writing home to his mother, and he's like, "Mom, the evenings are bad. The people are horrible. We're afraid to leave our rooms at night. We've landed in Shannon." You know, it was just this. And the way it was set up, and every sketch was just so well written. And it just, look, as I said, it paved the way for people like you. And it's just, I think there's clips of the 4-disc CD are available on YouTube. And if you do have time, there's about 15 minutes in each clip. It's well worth listening to, because it's funny how some of it is still relevant today.
Yeah, we were trying to find the Flintstones bit. And we actually couldn't find it at...
which is obviously P. Flynn being at the time, he was basically doing Fred Flintstone with Bertie Rubble, which is Bertie Ahern, and it was just around the time when Flynn was and Albert Reynolds were trying to get Charlie Haughey ousted.
And Flynn's views are, of course, pure historic. They were Stone
absolutely,
Age.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Women
yeah,
and
yeah.
Wilma, make me a sandwich.
Hang sandwiches.
Hang sandwiches and all that sort of stuff, yeah.
And I suppose you only have to Google Gay Byrne in the Late Late Show to find out what he was really like in his life.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay, very good. Owen, thank you so much for coming in to tell us about all that lovely political satire and political humour from around the world. Thank you so much, Owen Murphy.